Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. So I have with me today, Pippa Leslie. She is a spiritual teacher and healer who works with women on their spiritual path to discover their inner lighthouse. Through Pippa's teachings, they release the patterns of the toxic ego, remember their true nature, and connect to their higher self. As a result, they move into alignment in an energy of peace and serenity, living every day feeling divinely guided. Well, that sounds beautiful. Welcome to the podcast, Pippa.
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you today. We've been following each other for a while on Instagram, and so I definitely have watched from afar, and I'm excited to talk. I think we're going to talk about the ego. Dun, dun, dun.
I know. I just want to say as well, when you read my bio then, I was like, wow, because when you read it yourself and then someone else reads it back to you, you just think, oh yeah, it's such a beautiful purpose to have. So I'm just so grateful.
It is. Yeah. It is a beautiful purpose. So why don't you just tell us about yourself first and what even got you into wanting to have a conversation about the ego on a podcast?
I think for me, Lindsay, it was a few years ago when I came on my spiritual path. You know, as you evolve on your spiritual path, things will come in and you think, oh, what's that? Oh, what's this? And you just want to kind of dive into something. And as you know, you want to be a sponge to everything. And I will be honest. So I like to be authentic and be really vulnerable when I speak, because I've watched you for a while and you've really inspired me, because I found you through and Nicola Pera, the holistic psychologist. She's a big spiritual, you know, teacher of mine. And when I was like, I want to go and talk to Lindsay about the ego, my ego said, you don't know nothing about the ego. They know more about you than the ego because they've done it longer. And I'm like, oh, so that's me being like, that's the truth, what my inner dialogue was saying. So, you know, when I'm working with clients, or I'm talking to people about the ego, I give real examples of like what my ego says to me. And as you know, Lindsay, you know, it's become a really hot topic. And I think the reason I connected so well with it is because I differentiated the ego and the higher self really quickly. I just knew that that wasn't an aligning thought for me, or like an aligning decision for me, and it didn't feel right. And then what really hit it home for me was I had my human design done, and I was fascinated because she said, you're best making decisions when you're in a love frequency, when you're like make a decision out of like a feeling good. And I was like, that's so me. If I'm not feeling like in the right energy, I'll say, I'll get back to you, or I'm not feeling it right now. And there's a lot of power in that, in empowering, because as women, we're very like people pleasing, and I was such a people pleaser growing up, and I just wanted peace. I wanted to find peace. I wanted to show peace to other people and help them to connect to that. So when I had that human design done, I thought, oh, this is so me. And then when I started to really dive into spirituality, and Wayne Dyer is one of my really big spiritual teachers. I connect with him a lot and I love his work. I remember him saying, ego stands for edging God out. And that just turned it all around for me. I thought it really is, because you have the psychology of the ego, which I'm not a psychologist. So there was that element that I couldn't really dive into a lot of it, even though I knew, you know, the knowledge of some of it. But when you connect to the ego and the spiritual aspect, that's where it connected for me, about edging God out. You're edging that divinity out of yourself, because it is a false self. It's not your true self. So then that's when I started to go, well, that's my perspective on the ego. Everyone's perspective on the ego is slightly different because they're connecting to a different part of themselves. So yeah, it just led from one thing to another. And then when I kind of started to really talk about the ego, it was natural. It didn't feel like forced. It was really, I just love talking about it. I absolutely love talking about the ego. I just think it's a really, important topic for people to understand that, you know, the ego is a part of our evolution and it's there to protect us. It's not there to, it as its downfalls, you know, it can keep us in a box and it keeps us from evolving in a sense of our higher self and growing out that side and moving out of our comfort zone. But it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to, like, you know, it's not like this devil come into your life trying to, but so yeah, it was the spiritual aspect for me when, you know, learning it from Wayne Dyer. I just thought that's how I resonate with it a lot. Edging God out, edging the universe out of your physical body.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I have to know, what human design type are you?
I'm a generator.
Okay. All right. I'm a projector.
Okay.
I'm a 1-3 emotional projector.
This is the thing. So I had it done about 3 years ago. And then actually what's really strange, I've got a client who I taught Reiki and she's really heavily into human design. And she asked, had I had it done before? And I said, yeah, but I didn't really understand it properly then. And now you're seeing it more. So when I see generator on Instagram, I'm like, oh, that's me. That's me. So I read all the quotes and the phrases, but she actually asked, could she do my human design again? Because of this separation I've had with my partner, he's in New Zealand, I'm in the UK. It kind of made me go, well, hang on, let me just go into, you know, again, someone else's perspective on human design. So I've just actually paid her yesterday to do my human design again. So I know I've got a few very unique things in there that I just obviously will help me. Again, it just all these little things that you can find, and you'll know, Lindsay, you know, your human design, the Reiki, all these modalities you can go and try.
Yeah,
go and do it, because it, again, you the ego is not stopping you doing all that. Just, you know, when it feels aligned and great and you feel like you're finding things out about yourself, like soul plans. And I just love that. It's like discovering yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it too.
I'm giddy so talking about it. I'm like, yeah. I'm just so giddy.
Yeah, I love it too. I love all the things. Like, I don't know much about the Enneagram, but like I loved reading about my type. So I'm an Enneagram 6. And then like the Myers-Briggs personality types. I'm an ENTJ, and then human design, I'm a 1-3 emotional projector. I've done my gene keys before, but I can't exactly remember that. Have you done gene keys yet?
No. So it's like, I've just got this list of things that I want to kind of close. It's like your blueprint, isn't it? It's like different parts to make this blueprint of who you are.
Yeah, totally. And I've done past life regressions and stuff like that. I just like, I want to know everything about all of it.
Me too. I've just qualified as a hypnotherapist, QHHT. So
nice.
Dolores Cannon, that's her modality. But I'm just practicing now as, you know, as we speak. So I've got to do a few case studies, and I just find it fascinating how much, and that's the openness I've always had growing up, you know, as a child, as a teenager, I was always just such a deep thinker. I always thought about, you know, aliens, species, planets. Like, I was always asking, like, there's more to life than just going to school and coming home. And it was just, you know, and I've always kept that inquisitiveness about me, because I think that's the openness. And again, you know, society can shrink that. And I think when we keep that open mind, it's the magic, isn't it? You keep that magic alive within you. And that's what resonates with me.
Yeah. Well, and the ego often perceives those types of things because they're unfamiliar. The ego's like, I don't know. I don't know about that. That can't be real. Like, it's very skeptical and critical of stuff like that. And, but then, you know, I can see the flip side of it too. I can see how like someone can be really in their ego, like going after all of the things we were just talking about, like the human design and the gene keys and all of that. Like, you can get really wrapped up in that in an egoic kind of way. And then you start to believe like, well, this is the best way. This is the right way, you know? And, I guess that's what I would love to talk about next, is how sneaky and tricky the ego can be. Can we chat about that?
Yeah. I remember one of my clients saying, you know, and this hit home for me. One of my clients said to me, because they only know me on a business level, they see me on my stories, but they don't know me on a personal level, you know, a lot of them. And I remember one of them turning around saying to me, I just want to be like you, Pip, peaceful, happy, always happy. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, this is what Instagram and social media is doing. You know, it's portraying this perfection. And it's like, you know, if I have a shit day, I will come on and say, I feel like crap today. And if I've been triggered. You know, triggers are like the worst things ever at time, because you are like, why am I so triggered? Like, it's stewing my head in. And, you know, and as you, you know, I've just read a book, Conversation with God. It's such a powerful spiritual book, Neil Donald Walsh. And he's having a conversation with God, and he's talking about, you know, you have a thought, and then the thought is spoken, and then this, that creates a feeling in your body. So then that anxiety, you know, we've all had anxiety. It's in the heart, you get sweaty palms, you get, you know, rapid breathing. And I, the more you do it, the more you start to realize, oh, I know what this is now. This is my inner critic coming in. And you, and that's what I said with clients. They want this perfection really quickly. And again, that's the ego brushing over all of like the deeper work. So, you know, resistance around doing the ego work, it's hard. I'm not here to say it's easy. It's hard going down to that darker side, that night of the soul, you know, the shadow self, because it's the part that brings us out of the, you know, the getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I know when mine's sneaking up on me, because it starts to make me want to like change things. Don't do this. Some, and for me, it was all about, I don't know if you resonate with this, Lindsay, but I had like big groups of friends growing up, and I always wanted loads of friends. And if I left like a party, or I left the house, I think, oh, they're talking about me. They're talking about me, but they're not. It's like, I'm just saying that in my head. It's a prime example that I use all the time. And how I got around that was, one of the things I've seen, I've actually researched it, about anger. A lot of anger is manifested in driving. So road rage, things like that. And I'll hold my hands up. I've had, you know, road rage at times. But what I did was, well, I started to really sit in with that and go, why, you know, be inquisitive. Why is anger come out when we're driving? Is it because we're not in, you know, we're not face to face with someone? Because a lot of us, you know, find it hard to be confident and speak up in our truth. So I was just wondering about it. And I thought, there's many a times when someone's cut me up, or someone's just driving like an idiot or whatever, just really, you know, just whatever it is. And I thought, but we don't know what that person's just gone through. They might have lost someone. They might have like had a, woke up like really crappy day, had an argument with someone. And that's, again, then moving to judgment. So, you know, we're a judgmental species, unfortunately, and we're constantly judging, and we don't mean to. So there's layers to that, isn't there? There's layers to, like, you know, when the ego creeps in, you know, because it's like, for me, it's always, I think it's like, I always say it's like a shitty friend giving you bad advice. You know, it's like, so it's like having like your angel here saying, you know, do what's best for you, align with what you want. But then your shitty friends going, oh no, don't, no, no, that's not good. That's how I kind of resonate with it. And so for me, anyone listening who's like on this and they're like, oh, getting frustrated with themselves, because again, doing ego work, it takes time, and healing isn't a destination. Healing is constant. Healing is the journey, isn't it? So for me, it's just recognizing, but not letting it fester. So for me, a trigger now is quite quick. It's over and done with quite quick, instead of, you know, it's sat festering for like a week. We've all been there, where like something's happened with an argument with an ex-partner or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife, and you let it sit for weeks, and you go back and you say, I should have said this, I should have done that.
Yeah.
But again, it's moving into the present moment, isn't it? You know, so that's why differentiating between the higher self and the ego. Yeah. You know, you've got to then feel into that. It's about the feeling, isn't it? That's the indicator, the feeling in your body.
Yeah, for sure. It is about the feeling in your body. And I wanted to add to what you were saying, because you said it so beautifully, is like your ego, the ego makes everything about you, right? Like everything is about you. It must be about you. And the ego is the perpetual victim, mm-hmm. right? Like something's always wrong. Somebody's always out to get you. Something's always unfair. Something's not working out. Like it's always wanting to be in a victim consciousness. And yeah, it is so tricky though, because some of these beliefs that our egos have, or that we have as a result of ego, are so deeply ingrained in us that we truly believe, this is how I am. This is how I will always be. Like, it is unfair to ask me to change or expect me to change, because this is just how I am. And I work with clients, and anytime a client says that to me, I always remind them about how the ego has this attachment to me and my story. And so if you're having to feel like you have to defend yourself and be like, well, this is just how I am, and you shouldn't expect me to be any different, then 100% of the time, that's ego. Because the ego is all about the identity and my story and me, and it's unfair. And how dare you ask me to be anything different? And, you know,
like, I love that one. How dare you? That's always, how dare you do this? Who do you think you are?
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think you are? That's right. That's totally right. So, could you give our listeners maybe some practical tips for like recognizing when they're in ego versus when they're in their higher self or true self?
Yeah, for me, practical tools that I do is obviously with the meditation, getting quiet, because you start to then, you know, you stop your busy day and you sit and you meditate. Again, I know you do a lot of nervous system work as well, Lindsay, which obviously I don't know a lot about. I've done bits of it, you know, with cold water therapy, but, you know, going into like practices that I've done is I do a lot of meditation. I do a lot of journaling. Like I just dump everything on a journal, thought therapy journaling, you know, writing down what your inner dialogue is, you know, what is it you're feeling, things like that. But for, it's kind of like, for me, going on a deeper level, say, for example, you know, I'm trying to word it in a way that if you don't have a high opinion of yourself, if you don't, again, self-love is a huge part of this, you know, that ego will sound normal to you. So that ego voice will be like, oh, that, again, what you said, Lindsay, well, that's who I am. You know, I've always been that way. So you're not challenging yourself to move out of that belief, because a lot of them beliefs will come from parents and, you know, your upbringing. But if you're not challenging those beliefs, they're just going to stay there, and that's going, you're going to believe that's who you are. When you start to do the self-love work, then you start to go, I don't want to speak to myself like that. I don't want to treat myself like that. So again, it's like that shitty friend giving you shit advice. So it's, would you let that person just, you know, it's about seeing what's serving you. Is that thought serving you? And it's not. And a lot of the time I say to myself when I was really doing it, I think, is that true? And I'd be like, no, it's not. So why am I even believing it? And again, the ego is the best storyteller, isn't it? So if you hear this, like, I always think a higher self is very to the point and clear, where the ego is very like airy fairy, doesn't know what it's saying. It'll just keep, it's like trying to convince you of something when you actually don't need convincing. So it'll be like a chatterbox and doesn't shut up, where I think the higher self is a very clear message. You're worthy and you can do this. Where the ego will be like, oh, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if he does? And it just doesn't shut up. So yeah, it's like giving it the zip. That's been a big one for me, because I've always been a chatterbox. So it was hard for me at first, because I'd be like, is this me just talking? Because I'm always talking. I love talking. But then I realized that, you know, when I'm channeling and I'm doing meditation, when my guides and my higher self give messages, they're very clear and soft and loving and compassionate, and I think, and graceful, where the ego is just, you know, it's like
harsh.
You start to see the differences. Yeah, harsh. Yeah.
Yeah, harsh, confusing. I tend to watch my ego. It'll make an argument for one thing, and then I'll be like, okay, I see that. And then like, bam, out of nowhere, it's arguing for something totally different. And then I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I see that. And then pretty soon I'm just so confused. And I'm like, how do I even hear the voice of my higher self among all of these other voices, these voices that are like confusing, and yeah, they're full of fear, and they're full of, you know, rigid binary thinking.
Yeah.
Like it has to be this or that, or, you know, it's just, and it can be really hard to hear the voice of your higher self or the voice of your intuition through all of that. So
that's why getting quiet is really important, because it's, you then start to observe. You're just an observer of the thoughts then, because the thoughts aren't you. Have you seen the story of the two wolves? Have you heard the story of the two wolves?
Maybe, remind me.
Oh, I'm going to read it now, because I've just posted on my story today. So I think that's perfect timing.
Cool.
Just one sec. I just saved on my phone today and I thought I need to post it because people need to hear this. So it's the story of the two wolves. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside me, he said to the boy. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He continued, the other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, kindness, benevolence, empathy, truth, compassion, faith, the same fight is going on inside of you and inside every other person too. The grandson thought about it just for a minute and then asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed. I just got goosebumps reading that.
I did too. Wow. Oh my gosh, I totally got goosebumps at the same time. Yes.
That's the nervous system working.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I posted it today because it's just such a simple story, but literally that's what it's like. Half your brain is this, half your brain is that, and who you choose to feed that day. So, you know, bringing the power back to you, you get to choose how you feel. You know, the ego doesn't rule you, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a part that, again, like going back to the history of the ego, you know, we were cavemen, cave women, you know, you've heard the story before, you know, going out of the caves, we were being attacked by, you know, saber-tooth, different predators. So the ego has the, you know, it's like the importance of run, get out the way. Like, you know, in modern time, if you cross the road and a car's coming, you get that quick, oh, run, you know, and that's the purpose of the ego. That's the true purpose of the ego.
Yeah, it's it gives survival. You that, you
know, yeah. So as we've evolved though, and we've evolved really quickly in the last 100 years, you know, the ego then attaches to your image, people like me, people's opinion of me, all this stuff that's real BS. So it's going back to the origins of your ego, you know, and realizing what its actual purpose is. That's why I said in my bio, you know, it's understanding your ego's true purpose, because when you actually attach it to the wrong purpose, it can take over your life. And we've all had that. You know, I still have days where I'm triggered, you know, my last triggers now probably family, because they're the closest thing to you, you know, they can really trigger you at times, but it's owning the fact that I've got this and I can do this and the ego isn't going to ruin my life anymore. And again, separating the ego, you know, naming the ego, you know, you've probably all heard about that. Naming the ego. Mine's called Ursula because it's
mine is Barbara.
Oh, amazing. So I love Disney. So I thought, what's one of the all the evil, you know, the evil witches and things in the Disney movies? I thought, which one don't I like the most? And it's Ursula. I just don't like her. I just think, she doesn't resonate with me. She's definitely no ego. So I thought, right, I'll pick her. So I always say, when she creeps in, I tell her to go and sit on a rock in the ocean and just be quiet. So it just works well. But again, what I want to say just while it's coming up is you need to have fun with it as well, because I think with the ego, people start to get really wrapped up to the shadow self, the darkness, and it gets overwhelming. It does, like triggers and trauma and all this stuff to do with the ego is really overwhelming at times. And I want to say is just balance that out and have fun and laugh. We came here to experience it all. So take time to have fun and laugh with your friends and your family and just think, this is a fun journey and I'll take it in, you know, I'll take it every day. But remember to have both, because, you know, if you don't, it does get a lot. It does, because it is challenging at times.
Yeah, 1,000%. So would you like for me to tell you the story of how my ego got the name Barbara?
Yes, please. I'd love to.
So I did not name my ego. My best friend Honor named my ego. Honor has been on the podcast for 2 episodes talking about friendship and community. Mm. And we were doing, we were on a psychedelic trip in the spring of 2021. And I had taken, I don't know, probably between 4 and 5 grams of mushrooms. So it was like nearly a hero's dose, if not a hero's dose. Mm-hmm. And we were out in the woods and we had gone for a walk and the trail that we went on wasn't actually a trail. So we ended up doing a bunch of bushwhacking and that was annoying. And I was sort of complaining about that. And then we got to this clearing by a stream and we were laying in the grass by the stream, just looking up, and we were watching, there was the most beautiful thing happening in the sky. And I don't know if she saw the same thing I did, but like, I just laid there and stared at the sky and the clouds forever. And I kept seeing like cloud people is what I called them. Anyway, so then we decided we were ready to move on. And so we bushwhack our way back to the house and we laid on a blanket in the yard in front of her mom's house. And went inside, made some tea, went outside, laid back down, drank our tea. We're just talking about the cloud people. And then pretty soon I was like, well, I need to go to the bathroom. So I got up and I went back in the house and I just really prefer being outdoors for psychedelics instead of indoors, because for whatever reason, when the leaves on the plants and the ground are like moving and making different shapes and whatever, I'm okay with that. But then whenever I get inside and like the wood floors are like moving and crawling,
normal.
Yeah, it's like totally different. So I was inside using the bathroom and like the visuals inside the bathroom were a little bit disorienting. And so then I went back, as I was walking back outside from that, that's when my ego started being super loud. And my ego, I wasn't recognizing the voice as my ego at first, but I was like thinking to myself, this isn't even working. What am I doing? Like, this is so dumb. Why am I even doing this? Like, it's not working. I'm not having any breakthroughs. I'm not having any kind of profound experience. Like, this is just pointless. This is such a waste of day. And like, I mean, that was the voice that was happening. And I started to feel anxious. And so she was like, what's going on? And so I told her what the voice in my head was saying. And then she was like, well, just tell Barbara to shut up. I was like, who's Barbara? And she was like, I think that's your ego. I think Barbara's your ego. And like, now you know what she sounds like. And now she has a name. So when you hear her again, you could just be like, okay, Barbara, I'll listen to you for a little bit, but like you don't get to like take center stage today. So then I was like, well, if you get to name my ego, then I feel like I should get to name yours. And she was like, okay, fine. And the first thing that came up to name her ego was Lenore.
Lenore. So, that's like Eleanor, but she's missed the L off.
Yeah. So now our ego's names are Barbara and Lenore. And actually, as much of comic relief as it provided, it's also been really incredible for our friendship, because we now have a way of referring to each other's egos, which we often show up in relationships from an egoic place, right? Yeah. So, but when we're not aware of it, or when we're afraid to talk about it or something, then we feel like it's us against that other person. It's like me against you, but it's really actually benefited our relationship and a lot for our ego, for our egos to have names, because now if she is doing something that I don't really like, or if I can tell that Lenore is talking really loudly or something, then I can just say like, I think you need to tell Lenore to like pipe it down a little bit, you know?
So it's kind of like, it's being authentic with your best friend. That's amazing, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and she knows then that it's not me attacking her, you know? So we have this understanding now that when one of us really is not like being our true selves, we just talk to that person's ego. And so I can just, she can be like, Barbara, simmer down. And I can be like,
that's having the fun with it as well.
Yeah, it's having fun with it. And it feels, you know, because I've also experienced, like my husband and I have also done a lot of ego work and a lot of spiritual evolution in our lives. And I can tell you that the absolute worst thing is to be in a relationship with someone and in the middle of an argument or a conversation, then they're like, well, I could tell you were in your ego whenever, you know, this, whenever you said this or that. And like, that just makes me cringe and I will shut down faster than anything in the world. So I've experienced like calling ego out directly that way. And it feels really icky and it makes me feel really defensive. But then I've also experienced having the fun and playing and being like, Lenore is being really loud right now. Like, can you tell her to be quiet? And it makes you feel way less defensive. It makes you laugh about it. So yeah, that's how my ego got the name Barbara.
I love that story. It's so cool. It's just as cool as your twirling.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I posted a video of me baton twirling on Instagram yesterday that Pippa saw.
So cool.
Because she's in the UK, you had no idea what it was.
No. I wasn't expecting to see you doing all this like magic with the stick. And I was like, oh my God. And I just loved it. It made my day.
Oh, that makes me feel so happy. That makes Barbara very happy. Okay. Something else came up because you mentioned the nervous system earlier and you said like, you were like, well, I don't know as much about that as you do. I don't know if that's true, but here's what I have to say about nervous system and ego and higher self. So I have a theory and I have absolutely no way to prove it other than if somebody else like corroborates my theory. Yeah. But my theory is that our nervous systems are the radio antenna that pick up the signals from our higher self and mm-hmm. from our ego. So the nervous system is like the radio antenna picking up the signal. Like that's where intuition comes from. I truly believe that intuition comes from your nervous system, because intuition for me and for most of everyone I've ever talked to about intuition, it's a feeling or a knowing.
Yeah.
Right. Like without explanation, it's just a knowing or a feeling.
That's like your body responding to that, isn't it? It's the knowing.
Totally. Totally. So, but ego also has a lot of feelings, right? Mm. There's a lot of anxiety, heart racing, nervousness, you know, stuff like that. So the nervous system is controlling all of that on a physiological level.
Yeah.
But I think that when we're in more of a higher self mode, then the radio signal that our nervous system is picking up is much more likely to be that intuition versus when we're in a place of fear or anxiety, then the radio signal that our nervous system is picking up is coming from ego. And so we're responding in that like fight, flight, freeze, fawn, energy versus responding from a place of authenticity and groundedness, and sovereignty. Right. Mm-hmm. So my theory is that the nervous system is the radio antenna.
Yeah.
And depending on which state we're in, which we do have some control over, right? Like people, we do have control over the state of our nervous systems.
Yeah.
And we can do nervous system work to calm our nervous systems down and regulate our nervous system. And for me, the more nervous system work I do, the more clearly I can hear the voice of my higher self or my intuition.
Yeah, I feel that when I've done cold water therapy, it makes me more clearer. It gets rid of all the fuzziness, definitely. Especially for like, it's the shock, isn't it? Like the cold, obviously I've got an ice water tank session at the end of the month and I've not done that cold. I've done the streams and I've done like, you know, in the nature, and that's been about 6 degrees, but the tanks are about 2 or 3 degrees. Mm. And I remember like we did the breath session before getting into the water. And I remember I had an out of body experience just through breath.
Oh, wow.
And I got into the water. I was so calm. I never lost my breath. I kept breathing through my nose. I remember like my eyes were crystal, you know, like obviously when people have a quantum shift, it's like a new layer, a new sight. It was like that for me. It was like, everything was just clear, like a windscreen wiper had just gone over my eyes. Mm-hmm. And it was like, the rest of it was probably like, it was like, I can't explain it. It is like refreshing. Like you say, you know, when you get in a cold water, it's like, oh, this is so refreshing. But your nervous system, I think, is like, woohoo, this is great. Cause it does reset your nervous system. So I remember the guy we did the work with, I'm going to his at the end of the month. He did the vagus nerve and it fascinates me, all that stuff. But again, the connection with the ego, the connection with everything else, it just, there's so many layers to it all, isn't there? And everything connects, you know? Mm-hmm. So I that theory's phenomenal. Yeah, it really is. Like I would back that up in research.
Thank you. I don't know how we would prove anything, but that's just my little theory. So can you share what your own ego work or shadow work has looked like and how you've, because I think it's really important for people to understand, like, the ego can get a bad rap, because for sure the ego, you know, it can keep us stuck way longer than we intended. It keeps us smaller than we are. Keeps us feeling like victims and poor me and all of that. But it can be easy to just be like, well, I can just experience an ego death through like psychedelics or something like that. Which I would be very interested to hear your perspective on, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, ego death. Because I personally believe that if we reject our egos or hope for our egos to die, that's the same as rejecting a part of ourselves and hoping for a part of ourselves to die, which I don't think is serving a very good purpose. Because rejecting any part of ourselves is rejecting ourselves.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about air quote ego death? And then also your own ego work / shadow work that you've done to integrate your ego and love on your ego versus rejecting it.
Yeah. So what image I had in my head then was when you were talking about death of the ego, it's not about death of the ego. It's a rebirth of yourself. So I saw the phoenix, you know, that phoenix energy. But also to remember that, obviously, if you think about ego and higher self, what's the emotions you can put on that? It would be fear and love, to, you know, simple terms. And what I realized is, you know, fear and love are the same, but they're just on opposite ends of the spectrum. And the book I was reading, Conversation with God, it's a profound book. God created fear because he created love. And for us to realize what love was, we had to understand what fear was. And for us to understand what fear was, we had to understand what love was. So again, we've created this duality in our life. So remembering that, you know, the ego is part of you. It's part of who you are, you know, and the ego can be good too, you know, especially for like discipline, things like that. Like there's good parts of the ego that can be constructive instead of deconstructive. So remembering, like you've just said, Lindsay, you can't, you know, people say you can't get rid of the ego. It's not possible. It's like, you know, you can't, again, like Wayne said, you can't delete a part of you. It's a part of you. It's half of you, really. But again, remember those two wolves, you know, they're in you every single day, but which one are you going to feed, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, Lindsay, what it looked like was perseverance, really. And, you know, there was times where I was like, I can't do this. I give up. Why is the universe putting me through this like pain? And obviously the pain body comes into ego work as well. Cause when you're doing trauma work, you've got like obviously the pain body and there's all that aspect. But what I'd say is definitely, you know, work with someone who can help you through that. You know, if it's trauma work, go and get yourself a therapist. If it's ego work, just go with someone you resonate with, again, who resonates with your soul. Doing the journaling, the meditation, watching videos, podcasts, you know, make it part of your life. Like, you know, cause you want to better yourself. And that's the main thing. It's not about being perfect yet. You know, to be authentic is to become, you know, okay with your imperfections, because we're not perfect. You know, our souls, where we come from, is a perfect love, but we're not perfect. Unfortunately, we never will. We didn't come to earth to be perfect. We came here to learn, evolve. And what we don't learn in this life, we'll learn another life. So again, have fun, do the work of the ego, do the shadow work, you know, but then, you know, surround yourself with a collective of women who understand, are on your language, who won't judge you, who will hold space for you. That's been an important part for me, you know, being able to say to my friends, I'm in my ego today. And then they go, oh God, what's she saying? So, you know, have fun with that aspect of you. But then when you are really upset and hurt and in, you know, in anxiety, having someone to just sit with you, and even if you just sat in silence, someone to hold space for you, look like a one-to-one coach and then a group setting, or just having like, you know, a group to go to, like a meditation circle or whatever you resonate with. But to know that everything's temporary, so you will move and evolve. And that group will move on to another group. So just remember that it's a journey, and to have patience with yourself, and the ego and the higher self will look completely different every single day. You know, it really will. And, you know, things come up in life, and remembering that it's not about you, because it is about you, but it's about the journey and what you can learn from it. You know, keep asking yourself that. What can I learn from this situation? What did I learn from that trigger? Because that's, you know, that's what I say to my clients. What did you learn from it? Well, and then you move forward. And again, it's like peeling back the onions, the layers, the layers, the layers. And we are huge onions. We have many, many, many layers, and we're very complex people. You know, humans are very complex, but we were designed that way. Why were we designed that way? For this reason. Yeah. So just have patience for yourself and give yourself love. That's the main thing. Give yourself so much love, because if you're doing the work now and you've had a spiritual awakening and you're doing this work, I'm sending you so much love, because it is hard at times, but women like me and Lindsay who get it and we understand and we don't make judgments, you know, we've got you, we hold your hand, you know, virtually, because we're all in this together.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so, so beautifully put.
Thank you.
I have another question for you. So I noticed that the people that I am the closest to, so like my husband, my kids, my best friend, my mom, those are the people that my ego tends to come out more around those people, which can be destructive for the relationship, and it causes arguments and fights and, you know, creates dissonance and all that. What do you tell people, or how have you navigated that yourself, of like noticing that certain people tend to sort of like draw that out in you more?
Pushy buttons.
Yes.
I truly believe that. You've heard the quote, people come into your life for a reason, a season, or forever. So, you know, you'll find people come in your life and you think, God, I learned so much from that person, but I don't speak to them anymore. But unfortunately, family are for life. You know, they are. You can't, they say you can't choose your family, but you did. You did choose your family.
Yeah, your soul did before you got here.
Yeah. And, you know, for reasons where you can go and explore with past life regression, you'll have soul contracts with a lot of your family, you know, with sisters, brothers, husbands, wives, kids, things like that. So they're like, I would say they're the last piece to your mosaic. They're like, you're in the center of this mosaic and you've got all these triggers coming out. And then you've got like the last bit in the center. This is the masterpiece in the middle. And the closest people to you are the hardest because you love them. You've got an attachment to them. You have lived and grown up a certain way, should I say. So you've like, you know, you've grown up in this household or whatever, and then you start to come out on your own, you start to, you know, explore, find parts of yourself. And then that then affects them because they're like, oh, well, Pippa's not the same Pippa I knew. And that's making me uncomfortable. So then you do the projection starts. So the projections always start to happen. And that's what I find, is that I'm a huge mirror for so many people in my family. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, but obviously, like I said, everything around you is your mirror. So you got, you know, if something's bothering you, it's, you know, it's your responsibility to think why. So I would say with family, it's because, again, the nervous system, your nervous system is so intelligent. It goes, oh, I know you. Oh, I know you. Oh, I know you. And there's obviously the blood, you know, your blood has that. There's obviously deep, again, theories, you know, there's obviously like energy within the blood, because the blood's flowing, that obviously, you know, like energy, the Celestine prophecy, you know, if you read that book, when someone walks in a room and you can tell their energy, you know, because you have that innate knowing inside your body, because our bodies are miraculous. They just know so much.
Yeah.
So families, I say, are the last little piece of the jigsaw of the mosaic, because they are the closest to you. They know you the best, in a sense. They've watched you grow from being little. They've obviously, I guess, with husbands and wives, you spent so much time with them. You've gave them a piece of your heart. You've gave them your time. You've been vulnerable with them. So I think it's just harder to pull away from that. You know, again, like with friends that aren't serving you, you can go, okay, it's done. But with family, it's like, that boundary's still there, isn't it? So It's harder in a sense. You can't just say, right, I'm done with you, bye. You know, on some occasions people do, but it's harder because there's that bond there.
Yeah.
And we are a very tribal community species. You know, as humans, we like being together. We do. That's our default, really. We like being together. We have our independence, obviously, but, you know, we've been brought up in tribes. So again, like your family's your tribe.
Yeah.
But then you end up, you're married. So you know, you've got your new tribe and you'll have kids and they're your tribe. So it's just when I always say, when it gets to like, when it's just the family that's bothering you, then I think, right, you've done a lot of the work there, because that's where I'm at now, you know, and obviously I'm moving to the other side of the world. So that's going to obviously help. But there was a quote that I read, and I think Nicole did post it not long ago, and it said, you can't fully heal in a place that made you sick.
Yeah.
That's what I've been living with my parents for last year. So I've done a lot of healing, but I think there's a little bit left, and I think that'll happen when I go to New Zealand. So you're doing great. Just you love him, but it's like a love-hate relationship. You're doing great though.
Yeah, we've had to do so much work, and the container of our relationship, I believe with 100% of my heart and soul that like our souls chose the container of this relationship to really work out some hard shit.
The hardest in
this lifetime.
Yeah.
Because oh my gosh. I mean, it's crazy how difficult it can be sometimes. And I feel like I have the same sort of soul contract with my son. Like My son and I can really butt heads a lot, and my daughter and I, not so much, but yeah. So I think there's just those certain people in our lives that we have those contracts with that are in our lives, and we love them deeply, and we're so attached to
them. That's the issue though, isn't it? Like, you know, it's like you can think about if you're speaking to a stranger and then you, your mom, it's like completely different, isn't it? It's just totally. The way you've, and again, they've brought you up. Again, like think about from the mother perspective. I know some of you may have had like caregivers or carers, but from a mother perspective, I'm not a mother yet, but the wild, I always attach things to the wild. So in the wild, if you weren't loved and looked after, you would die. So there's that bond with your mother. So, yeah. And again, with the father, you know, in some species, the father gets involved with the bringing up of the young. So there's that father role as well. And obviously there's so many layers to it, you know, father wounds, mother wounds, there's just so much stuff, but they're the last kind of, I'd say they're the last part of the mosaic because they're just the closest to you.
Yeah.
They hold most of your heart and soul because they're just so close to you.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way of putting it. I got chills again a little bit. Well, I think that this has been a fantastic conversation. And before we wrap it up, I want to just ask you if there's anything else that you really wanted to come through today that hasn't come through yet.
I'm always getting the Tao because I love the Tao. So the Tao is saying about, you know, there's a verse in the Tao about flowing like water. And it's always to remember, I always say with part of the healing to get out in nature, you know, nature's got all the answers. Nature has all the answers. But with water, I always think, you know, if you just sit near a river and you see the water flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing, it just keeps flowing. So just when you're out in nature, trust the instincts of what you connect to. Again, leaves blowing in the trees, you know, and being swaying in the wind. The Tao, I definitely read the Tao Te Ching, and Wayne Dyer's version is really, really good. But nature has a lot of answers. So if any of you are not big and you don't go out a lot in nature, definitely make it a daily part of your practice because it just mellows your energy. It mellows your energy if you're in that anxiety state, but it heightens your vibration because, you know, standing next to a tree 15 minutes, you know, I've read my partner's a scientist and he read a book, The Secret Therapy of Trees. And it talks about how, you know, being next to a tree for so long can like help the heart. It can lower the blood pressure, loads, nervous system stuff. So the nature has a lot to answer for, and we are a part of nature and nature's a part of us. So it's a huge thing to help you heal.
Yeah, it is. It's been a huge part of my journey. Mm. I'm so grateful for where I live. I'm so grateful that my soul chose to come and move to the woods. Before I had my mental health breakdown and my dark night of the soul. I'm so grateful that I was living here before that happened so that I had this like safe, nurturing, healing place in nature to be able to cocoon myself and like really heal and have access to nature. I'm so, so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can you tell our listeners where they can find you and how they can work with you if they're interested?
Yep. So the best place to find me is Instagram. So Mother Earth Healer Pippa is my Instagram handle. And my website is motherearthrising.co.uk. So I'll send you the links over as well, Lindsay. Perfect. So you've got them. But if anyone's got any like questions, I'm so giving. So like, I'm literally just message me. I just love talking to people. I love connecting to people. I love inspiring people. So, you know, just reach out if you feel stuck and you need a listening ear.
I love that. Thank you so much, Pippa. You are so generous. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lindsay. And thanks for having me.
Oh yeah. I appreciate you being here today. Thank you.